Okay, everyone, we're going to start the shiur. First, I just want to thank my father for making the tacos. Chazak baruch, chazak baruch. We're going to talk about Parashat Shemini today. And the subject of tonight's shiur is the story, the mysterious story of Nadav and Avihu. It's a short parasha in the Torah. There's not that many psukim about it. They died. It's a tragedy that takes place in the Torah. And the Torah is confusing and mysterious, and the rabbis come and make it even more mysterious. Who exactly were Nadav and Avihu? And Nadav and Avihu were the sons of Aharon. Aharon had four sons: Nadav, Avihu, Eleazar, and Itamar. And Nadav and Avihu, the rabbis say, were the greatest men of the generation, even greater than Moshe and Aharon. They were giants, Gedolei Hador. They were the next leaders of Am Yisrael. Let's read the. Let me read to you the pesukim. As we know, the last homash of Shemot, he had the building of the Mishkan, the commandment to build the Mishkan, the commandment to make the vestments of the Kohanim, and then you have the actual performance of the making of the Mishkan, Parashat Vayakel Pekudei. Then you have Vayikra, which we read 2 weeks ago. Vayikra and Tzav both deal with the actual korbanot. What are you supposed to do in this Mishkan? What are you supposed to do there in the Beit HaMikdash? Now, Parashat Shemini is the inauguration. It's the inauguration of the Mishkan and the inauguration ceremony. Yeah, you want to turn up? It's the inauguration of the Mishkan itself and the special korbanot that the Kohanim had to bring as part of their inauguration. They had to bring a korban chatat. It says Aaron had to bring a egel for a chatat. Why does he have to bring an egel for a chatat? Egel is a calf. Aaron took part in the egel azav. So Hashem said, if you want, you know, he wants to make him kohen gadol. He has to atone for whatever role he played in the egel azav, albeit he was l'shem shamayim. He did it for the right reasons. It was the right intention. Aaron did not do avodah zarah. That we know. He tried to stall the Jewish people, but he facilitated the Egel Azav. And God knew his intention, and he said, your intention was so pure, I'm going to make you the Kohen Gadol. Because I know your intention was pure. I know you were trying to get the people to serve Hashem, you were just trying to stall them. But he took part in it. So he had to bring a korban. Now, after they bring the korbanot, it's fascinating. It says here, after they brought everything, they brought all of their sacrifices, korbanot. Vayisa Aharon et yadav el ha'am vayivarechem. Aharon lifted his hands to the nation and blessed them. He's a kohen. Barachecha Hashem, yishmerecha. He blessed them. Vayered me'asot ha'chatat ve'aola ve'ashelamim. And he descended from the altar, from the mizbeach, where he made the chatat, the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering. Moshe and Aaron came to the tent of meeting. They both came out. They both blessed the people. Now, what happens after Moshe and Aaron bless the people? The glory of Hashem, the Shekhinah, came down. I said it worked. We built the Mishkan, and God's presence, the Shekhinah that He. Listen, God can't be seen, but God created what the Rambam says. He created a light. That is a godly light. And it's a manifestation of God's presence. God's presence came and it was visible. You could see that God did something here. Vatetze'esh minifnei Hashem. A fire came out from Hashem. Vatochal al ha-mizbeach et ha'ola v'tachalavim. This fire came down and burned down the korbanot. Zapped them up. Ate everything. It took everything. With no smoke, interestingly. Rabbis say God's fire has no smoke, because it's not a fire. It's a divine light. It's a divine light that when the way God made the world. Now, when the people saw this, it's like a recreation of the Matan Torah, the recreation. Vayar kol ha'am, the nation, they all saw what happened. Vayaronu, and they started singing. They were so overwhelmed, they started singing to Hashem. Vayipelu apenem, and they fell on their faces in humility. Okay. It's a pretty awe-inspiring event. Now, the sons of Aaron, Vayikhu b'nei Aaron Nadav Avihu, ish machtato. The sons of Aaron Nadav and Avihu, they each man took his fire pan, their kohanim. Vayitenu v'hen ish, they put fire on it. They put fire on it. So this is not a godly fire. They took fire, from wood. Vayasimu aleha ketoret, and they placed incense on their fire pan. This was one of the mitzvot of the Mishkan, to bring ketoret. And the ketoret, the rabbis say, was not brought that day yet. So they felt, look what God did. I want to bring it. I want to do something. They took a foreign fire. They put the incense. Vayakrivu difnei Hashem ish zara. They brought in front of Hashem a foreign fire. Asher lo tziva otam. That He did not command them. Who's He? Asher lo tziva otam. God did not command them. Moshe did not command them. Interestingly, the word lo has a ta'am. It has a cantillation, a tune that we find nowhere else in the Torah. To the best of my knowledge, maybe one other time in the Torah. And I think this is the only place. The way you sing it, the Sephardic Nusach, Asher lo tziva otam. This lo is, you know, whenever the ta'amim gives, you have some strange ta'amim that appear just 2-3 times in the Torah. This is one of them. When God did not command them, there's something going on over here with this ta'am over here. So they brought a fire they should not have brought. That's what we think. That's what it sounds like from the Torah. We'll see what they did. Vatetze esh min lifnei Hashem v'tochal otam. So the fire came out from Hashem, from the Kodesh HaKodashim, and ate them up, consumed Nadav and Avihu. V'tochal otam. V'yamutu lifnei Hashem. And they died in front of Hashem. This is the first day of the Mishkan. Well, the eighth day, actually. Vayomer Moshe l'Aharon. So now, what's Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction to this tragedy, seeming tragedy? So Moshe says, "Hu asher diber Hashem lemor." This is what God meant when He said, "Bikrovai ekadesh." With those that are close to Me, I shall be sanctified. Ve'al pene kol ha'am ekaved, and I will be honored in front of the nation. This is what God meant when He said, "I'm going to sanctify Myself with those that are close to Me." Hashem sanctified the Mishkan with these two tzaddikim. God told Moshe, I'm going to sanctify this place with those that are close to Me. The Midrash, Rashi brings down the Midrash. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that his life was going to be taken at the Mishkan. Someone's life had to be taken there to show people, this is serious business over here. This is a holy place, and you have to do exactly as you're told. You can't change one iota from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rashi brings the Midrash, that Moshe said, I thought that it was going to be me or you. You know, I guess your sons were greater than us. They were the bigger tzaddikim. God took their life. Now, what's Aaron's reaction? Vayidom Aaron was silent. Didn't say anything. The Torah makes a point to say he was silent. Interestingly, why doesn't the Torah just not say anything? And Aaron didn't say anything. That's a story. God, he didn't say anything. The Torah doesn't waste words over here. The rabbis learn a lot from Aaron's reaction of tragedy. This is a tragedy. His sons were taken. And the proper reaction is just, okay, that's what God wants. Now, the Ramban says that he was crying, actually. When they died, he was crying. When Moshe Rabbeinu told him those words, that they were such big tzaddikim, so then he was quiet. He was comforted by Moshe Rabbeinu for the loss of his son. That's the story in the Torah. Okay, we all know the story. It's just a psukim that I read. There's a big debate what their sin was. Some say it's that they brought a fire they should not have brought, ish zara. The problem is, some mefarshim say that actually was not a problem because there's a mitzvah to bring, along with the fire, to bring ish hedyot. And that's exactly what they did, to bring a natural fire. Some say the problem is they didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu. He would have told them it's fine. Now, the rabbis confound this issue by saying, well, they also drank wine before this.
Shechar.
What's that?
Shechar.
Shechar. Something intoxicating. They drank something.
Shechar is more preferred than
Yeah, maybe it was bourbon. I don't know if they have bourbon like that. But it's probably Arak, Middle Eastern. We're going to see the Midrashim over here. There are several different opinions over here. Now, the first thing we just have to explain at the onset, just to explain about these Tzaddikim, whenever the Torah talks about Tzaddikim and their infractions, their averot that they make, that the Torah talks about, we have to understand that they're not on our level. The sin that they did, we probably won't even understand exactly what their sin was. The same with Moshe Rabbeinu hitting a rock, and because of the rock, he can't go into Israel. But arguing with God for a week, telling him, I don't want to go to Egypt, that's okay. You know? Make it tough. God did punish him for that also. But not to go into Israel because he hit the rock. You know? And you made a hilulah, you didn't sanctify my name. It's hard to understand what the avon is. But the thing is, as long as we understand these were great people, these are tremendous people, greater than Moshe and Aaron, but the Torah wants us to learn from the Torah. It tells you these things to take. You're supposed to take something with you. What are we supposed to learn, all of us, from Nadav and Avihu? What lesson are you supposed to take home with you from Nadav and Avihu? It says here, quotes a midrash. This is I'm reading from the Slonim Rebbe, the Nitivot Shalom. He's a Hasidic rabbi. He gives a very deep, beautiful insight into this issue. He quotes a midrash that says here, Amar Moshe le'Aharon. Moshe told Aharon, Achi, my brother, B'Sinai ne'emar di shani atid lekadesh et habayit hazeh. U'ba'adam gadol ani mekadesho. God told me that this house is going to be sanctified and made holy with someone very big. And it's going to be one of the great men. Who's the greatest of the generation? Moshe and Aaron. They're the leaders. It's obvious now that your sons were even greater than me and you. Now the thing is, the rabbis add on a lot of different avirot, as we mentioned. The Midrash, let me read to you the different sins that the rabbis put on them also. That they drank wine, they were shetuye yayin, it says, actually. That was one. They drank wine. Another thing is that they weren't wearing the proper vestments. The Kohanim have to wear begadim, special begadim. That's another sin they did. They also, when they did not wash their hands and feet before performing the avodah. Even more stuff over here. Okay, number four, they didn't have any children. They didn't procreate. According to one opinion, they were never married, let alone have children. They didn't even get married. Why would they not get married? So some say, I remember seeing one mifanesh that says that because they were such great individuals, how can they get married to anyone? Who's on their level? They were Nevi'im. You know? Moshe Rabbeinu had a wife, but eventually he left her also. When God was always communicating with him, he had to leave his wife. No one can be married to someone that God is talking to constantly. But the rabbis say Nadav and Avihu also did not get married. Now this is the most shocking of all the sins that the rabbis pile up on Nadav and Avihu. Again, these are the Moshe Rabbeinu said they're greater than me and you. You and Aaron. Me and Aaron. Look at this one's shocking. Okay? It says the Gemara Sanhedrin says, Shayu Moshe ve'Aaron hulchim tehila. Moshe and Aaron were walking in front of them. Nadav and Avihu were the next in the hierarchy of the great people of Israel. You have the Zekenim, the elders. You have Moshe Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, and then you have the Shivim Zekenim. They were walking after Moshe and Aaron. And the rest of the Jewish people are walking behind Nadav and Avihu. And what were they saying?
When they gave the date.
Right? It says, Ve'omri matai bet Zekenim halalu metim. When will these two old people, 90 years old,
lizard,
when are they going to die? Ve'ani ve'ata nanigat ador. And me and you, we're going to take over. Now, this is the way tzaddikim talk over here. This is the rabbis. You know, the rabbis, they're not hiding anything. They tell you, like, this is what they said, or this is what they thought, or this is what they were communicating to each other. Now, is another sin, to pile on one more sin, make it even more confusing. Ita al shoru alacha bifne Moshe Rabban. They ruled a Torah ruling in front of their rabbi. You know, it's a big. You're not supposed to do that. If a rabbi is is in a place and someone asks a question, you're not supposed to jump up and answer the question in unless you ask permission from the rabbi. The rabbi says you can go ahead. They were more halacha b'tnei rabban. Now the question is, why did the rabbis have to add on all these sins? The Torah doesn't say any of this. It just says they brought a fire that they were not commanded, that he did not command them. That's all the Torah says. Why do the rabbis have to add on more sins? Now, he says, he brings here from one Mefaresh, it could be the rabbis do this because if you bringing a fire that is not, that is a strange fire, the rabbis say, mitzvah l'avi min ha'idyot. It's actually a mitzvah to bring a foreign fire. That's what they used to do in the Beit HaMikdash. There was a heavenly fire and there's a fire that they used to prepare as well. What was wrong with that? So some Mefarshim want to say that that's why the rabbis try to find other things that they did. They must have been that they drank wine, because right after the parasha of Nadav and Avihu, what's the next parasha? Moshe tells Aaron, Hashem tells Aaron, don't drink wine when you come to the Beit HaMikdash. That's the next parasha. And the rabbis say that Aaron, usually it's Vaydaber Hashem and Moshe Lemor. God spoke to Moshe, go tell Aaron. This pasuk, it says God spoke to Aaron directly. He said, don't drink wine when you go in. So some say, well, that connection, the Torah is sort of hinting, you know, it shouldn't happen because of drinking wine, you know? Like what happened here at Purim, I'm just joking. Right? Yeah. Things get out of hand, you know? Yeah, we saw the bar. You can feel the Simchat Purim still. So, yeah, they drink wine. Now, the rabbis say, why did Aharon get this zechut that God spoke to him? Because of Vayidom Aharon. Because Aharon was silent and he didn't say anything. Hashem said, no, you're such a tzaddik. You know, I'm going to give you one mitzvah just to you. I'm going to tell Moshe also, but I'm going to talk to you directly. I want to tell you the mitzvah. So, that's one mifarash wants to say that's because that the sin of bringing a foreign fire is not really, wasn't so asur. Now, the Daat Zekinim, from the Tosafot, they say something else. They say, you're right, it's a mitzvah to bring foreign fire, but that's only once God sanctified the Beit HaMikdash. He didn't do it yet. First, wait, let the fire was supposed to come from the Kodesh HaKodashim, from the Holy of Holies. It was supposed to consume everything. After that, after God dedicated the Beit HaMikdash, now you can bring your fire. And they were too, it was such a vision. The Ora Chaim says that basically they saw Gan Eden and they had to jump into it. That was their spiritual sin that they did. They were on such a spiritual high, they jumped into the spiritual high and it took their life. They just jumped into Olam Haba. Okay, but what they did, according to the rabbis, was a sin. The Torah says it was a sin. So now how can we understand all of these different things that the rabbis say, what the Torah itself says that they brought a foreign fire. Now the problem is also, ask the Slonim Rebbe, he says if they were such big tzaddikim, how could they sin with all these different things? They didn't wear the proper bigadim, and they didn't wash their hands. We know, we come to the shul, the simplest people that come to the Beit Knesset, they wash their hands before they come in. You're supposed to wash your hands before you pray. They didn't know this halakha. And what's this business of, when are these two elderly people, you know, going to pass on? What is this? Who speaks like this? So now let's give the explanation over here. Okay? B'shem Hashem, naseh v'nasliach. It says in the Sfarim HaKdoshim, in the holy books, it says that the purpose of the Torah, why do we keep all these mitzvot? We have 613 mitzvot. Why so many mitzvot? The tachlit, the purpose of mitzvot, is to be attached to Hashem. When you keep the mitzvot, you attach yourself, you're ubot tidbak. You make yourself close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every mitzvah is another path to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the way you're, there's 613 mitzvot. You have 248 positive mitzvot and 365 negative mitzvot. Your body also has 248 limbs and 365 sinews. However, the cheshbon, I don't know, you can ask the doctor afterwards how that adds up. How does that add up exactly? But that's what the rabbis say, that there are 613 bodily parts. Now, the neshama itself also has these parts, and there are also 613 parts of your neshama. And To attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need the mitzvah. Each mitzvah is like a pipeline from your neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way you get close to Hashem. Each mitzvah is an etzah. It's an advice. How can you become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, look at this. The Torah says you have to be attached to Hashem. It says, Ubot tidbak. In Him, in God, you shall attach yourself. How are you supposed to attach? What am I supposed to do? So the rabbis say, well, you can keep the mitzvot. Okay, you got to be a tzaddik. There's another etzah also. The rabbis say. This is not just the Hasidic rabbi saying this. This is the rabbanim of the Mishnah say this. Dechi efshar didabek b'shechina. Is it possible to attach yourself to God's presence? Ela idabek b'chachamim u'betalmideim. You should have a relationship with a chacham and with talmidei chachamim, with the students of talmidei chachamim. Being close to a talmid chacham and a tzaddik, they're close to Hashem, and you're close to them, so you're close to Hashem. Now, it's not to say that you can't go directly to Hashem. You can go directly to Hashem also. This is not the Pope, chas v'chalila, you know. You live through someone else. Right? You can go straight to Hashem, but listen, we're not all tzaddikim. You should have a connection with a tzaddik, with a tamid chacham, someone that is knowledgeable in the Torah. By having a connection with someone that's a tzaddik, you become close to Hashem. This is what the rabbis say. Now, the thing is, interestingly, which rabbi do you have to choose? So the Slonim Rebbe says, sometimes the rabbi is actually less knowledgeable than his student. That can be. And that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't have to be the greatest, the Gadol Hador. That's a mistake I made, you know, many years ago. I was looking for, like, I want to be the Talmid of the Gadol Hador. I want to find the biggest rabbi in the world. The biggest rabbis in the world don't have time. You know, they don't have time because they're the biggest rabbis in the world. You got to find an up-and-coming big rabbi. You know, someone that's like unknown. You know, but I need someone, huh? Yeah, you have to find someone. You have to find someone that you can learn from. Someone that you can ubotidbak. Someone that will be an example for you. There was one great rabbi that I met in Israel. Mekubal. I can tell you his name afterwards. I met him at Kubal one time, and I had a lot of questions. So he said, you know, I see you have a lot of questions. He said, there were 30 people waiting in the room, his living room. He said, you know, I can't give you so much time. He said, you see so many people waiting here. He said, I'm going to give you a phone number, and I'm not pushing you off. I mean, that's what he told me, this rabbi. I'm not pushing you off. He said, I can't give you too much time. He said, I'm going to give you a phone number of a rabbi. He has a lot of time. For the meantime, he has a lot of time. Because he's not so well known. The day is going to come when even this rabbi is not going to have time. And you know what? That happened. This rabbi doesn't have time anymore. You know, his fame spread. And he's also very busy now. You know, and so you got to find someone else. No, but you have to have someone. You have to have someone. The rabbi said you have to have be close to Talmid Chacham. So now, here's the thing. You have to have someone that you're kafuf el hamashpia. You have to be subservient to the one that's teaching you. Basically, you have to have someone that you accept what he says. You have to accept. A rabbi, a chacham, tells you something. You know, chacham Avada used to tell people things in business. Buy this, sell this, don't do this. And he was very smart. Besides his chokhmah, he was also a tzaddik, tamid chacham. And when they would follow what he said, there are many stories of very successful people. They followed what the rabbi says, and everything worked out. They had this special siyata dishmaya. So now, if one does not have a rabbi and does things without asking first, just things, do things as you see fit, that's called more halacha bifnei rabbo. That's called ruling in front of your rabbi. You're deciding what I'm going to do. You should ask a rabbi first. Ask a tzaddik first. So the Slonim Rebbe explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, so we used to have the Shefa, we used to have God's influx, His Beracha, it used to come through the Nevi'im. We had people that actually used to talk to God, and God would talk to them. We no longer have Nevi'im. Well, the next period was a period of Ruach HaKodesh, people that had the Divine Spirit with them. Maybe God doesn't talk to them, but they know things. In their dream, they see things. Or they speak to the Malachim or to Eliyahu Navi. That's Ruach HaKodesh. We no longer have that as well. All we have left are Chachamim. That's what we have, and that's the way you'll become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, Nadav and Avihu, Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, they're the greatest of the generation. They were the greatest of the generation, and this was exactly their issue. They knew that they were bigger Tamidei Chachamim than Moshe and Aaron. They were more charismatic, they were younger, more energetic. They can do a lot more than Moshe and Aaron, and they knew that they were greater. And Moshe and Aaron, they were molding them. But you know, they got so great that they no longer needed their rabbi anymore. They know all the halachot, they know everything. That's why Nadav and Avihu jumped in to bring something without asking Moshe Rabbeinu, because I know the halacha. I know what to do. They did not ask Moshe and Aaron, what should we do? They bypassed. They got so great, I don't need my rabbi anymore. That's a big mistake. That was the mistake that they made. Oh, so very good. So what about all the different things that they did? So number one, the first problem they did was that horu halacha bifnei rabban. They went against, they did something without asking their rabbi. And the reason why they did it is because they were so great. That's also why they said, you know, the day's going to come, you and I are going to take over. Because you and I, you know what we're going to do for Am Yisrael when we take over? It's going to be a different thing. We're going to do unbelievable things for it. We're going to take them to the next level. You know, now that we're learning Dafa Yomi, we're going to do Gemara Be'iyun with them. Okay? We're going to take them to the next in-depth experience over here. They thought when it's going to be our turn, it's going to be the best. That was their thing. Now, if you look in the Torah, it says that they brought a fire that he did not command them. He says that you could say Hashem did not command them. Okay, but the problem is, we said, according to many opinions, they could have brought that fire. It's Ashelot Siva Otam, Moshe did not command them. That was the mistake. That was the mistake, that they went, they did not ask Moshe Rabbeinu. Now look at the Mishkan. You remember Parashat Terumah, Tetzaveh, Vayakeh Pekudei. Everything they did, how many times does the Torah say, and they did as God told Moshe? Kasher Tziva Hashem El Moshe. 18 times, the Torah says. Everything, every inch of the Mishkan, every pole, every socket, everything, every drape, every little hook that holds the drapes, everything was exactly like Hashem told Moshe. You need Moshe Rabbeinu. You need what God told Moshe Rabbeinu. The same thing applies also to the Mishkan. It has to be exactly as God told Moshe. He's the Navi. He's the leader. You have to follow the leader. He says here earlier, the Slonim Rebbe, he says that Tamid Chacham, like, how are you supposed to know who to choose? You know? How are you supposed to know? You can go for the biggest that you can find, but he says it's also he who is given Hitnahagut, to be Manhig. The manhig, the leader, someone that's given a position of leadership, that's the person that Hashem sort of chose that person. You know, Harav Yitzhak Yosef right now, Shalita. He was chosen. How he got chosen to be chief rabbi, there's politics, Shas, you'll say whatever you want. Right now, he's the chief rabbi of Israel, just for example. The mere fact that he was chosen to be chief rabbi of Israel shows that from Shamayim, they want him to be in a position of leadership, which until now, he did not have. I heard from my rabbis in Israel. You know, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef was the chief rabbi of Israel from, what year was it, from 1973 till 83. And he was going to continue being chief rabbi. They changed the law. They said he could only be chief rabbi for 10 years. The Israeli government made that law. Baba Sali, Zechuto Yagen Aleinu, he calls up Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu. Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu was not a chief rabbi. He was a Beit Din. He was working with financial litigation. He was the head of the Dinei Mamonot in Yerushalayim. That's what he was doing. He was very happy. Baba Sali calls him up. He says, I want you to come to my house in Netivot. So he has to go from Yerushalayim to Netivot, in the Negev, I think, 2-hour drive or something. He sees the Baba Sali. Baba Sali says, you have to enter the elections for the chief rabbinate. He says, I don't want to be chief rabbi. So why me? He said, "Min hashamayim hichrizu shata rav rashi." In heaven, they want you to be the chief rabbi. Go enter the elections. That's why he entered the elections to be chief rabbi, and he won. And they were very close. There's something. Someone that's chosen for a position of leadership, that's someone that you should Now listen, if you see the guy is no good, someone that you think, you know, someone that you have to do your best to find the Talmid Chacham. So now, here's the thing. You have to have a connection with a Talmid Chacham. As we said, that's the way you attach yourself with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because you can't be close to the Shekhinah, but you can be close with he who is close to the Shekhinah. The Rambam says, he quotes the Moreh Nevuchim, the Guide to the Perplexed. The Rambam says an amazing thing. He says, nothing bad can ever happen to you, ever, if you are with Hashem, and you're davuk, you are attached to the Shekhinah. If God is on your mind, and you're davuk b'Shekhinah, nothing bad will ever happen to you. It's impossible for anything bad to happen. It will only happen if you lose that devikut. The Rambam, he quotes through different places in Tanakh, if, you know, there was a little bit of a falling, and then something bad happened. You know, it says, you know, the famous story with David HaMelech. David HaMelech asked Hashem, I want to know how long I'm going to live. How long did David HaMelech live? Anyone know? How old was he? He was 70. Rambam also lived to be 70. He said, I want to know when my time is up. Hashem said, no. You can't know. But it's going to happen on a Shabbat. He died on Shabbat. And the Gemara tells a story how on Shabbat he'd be learning Torah and constantly. Davuk b'shchina. He wouldn't waste a second and just thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it says that the Malach HaMavet, the angel of death, was his time. His time to go. And the angel of death came and was rough, making noise in the trees. And David HaMelech took a break to go see what's this. But he was still doing the Torah. But for a second, something fell. I don't remember exactly. It was got noisy, and he stopped learning Torah, and that's when he died. Because he was not davuk to the Shekhinah. So the Rambam says that if you want to be attached to Hashem and be free from evil, you have to be close to Him. Now, who can do such a thing? Well, if you're close to a tzaddik, you have on a much lower level, you have a protection also. Protection, spiritual protection. You have to have some tzaddik that you have a connection with. You don't live by yourself. When you're close to a tzaddik, you have a certain protection, a spiritual protection. You know, look, Yaakov Avinu raised his son Yosef for 17 years. Only 17 years he had with his son. And his son was sold to slavery in Egypt. And he was with the worst elements in the world and the biggest nisyonot, tests, spiritual tests that he had to overcome. And the rabbis say, you know what, he almost did it. He almost went with the wife of Potiphar. He was this close to going with her. Why didn't he go with her? The rabbis say, Ra'a diokno shel aviv. He saw the image of Yaakov. It's like, wow. I'm not, my father, Yaakov Avinu, Navi. Just the image, just thinking about Yaakov Avinu, okay, I'm not going to do it. Because he was, even though it was 17 years, he was there for a long time in Egypt, he was only 17 when he left, but he was so close with his father, he still kept the spiritual connection with his father. The mere thought of the tzaddik helped them not sin. So he explains here in Shavu Shalom, he says, he should be alive.
Yeah,
that's a different discussion. You know, listen, Torah, the tzaddikim that died are also, we say, in a certain sense, alive. So you should study the Torah, whichever rabbi, you know, listen, Rabbi Nachman, for example. Rabbi Nachman was the only Breslov rabbi ever. There was no successor. And that's all there is. So many Breslov Hasidim, they say, well, we still have a rabbi, Rabbi Nachman. Like, no one ever took his place. Listen, you read the books, they're good. They're nice books. But you have to have someone you can talk to. Are you going to go to Uman every time you have a question? What are you going to do, you know? It's not going to help you. You can pray. You know, others, you know, open the books of the Rebbe. Listen, that's nice also. But you have to have a rabbi. You have to have a living, breathing rabbi that you can talk to. You have to. It's a must. So he says here now, this is a way of attaching yourself to Hashem. If you're close to a tzaddik, you also have a certain protection, spiritual protection. He says, this is why it's so important to have a rabbi. This is why he's in a Hasidic rabbi. He says, that's why the Hasidim are very into having a rabbi, being very close with a rabbi. Now, some might say, well, they take a little bit too far. You gotta watch the rabbi eat, you know? Well, there's something to that, you know, that's to each their own. But you should be close with someone. And in whatever way you want, to find it. Maybe a shiur, maybe a meal, Shabbat meal or something. Whatever it is. We'll start giving shirayim, you know? You know, the fish, we'll pass out to everybody. But you have to do it from hand to hand. That's all. Anyway. He says here, when you are not close to a tzaddik, you lose the shemirah. You lose this protection that you have. And he says, this is what has answered your question. This is what happened to Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu were the greatest men of the generation, and they knew it. They were bigger than Moshe. They were smarter. Bigger than Tamidei Chacham. They were Nevi'im also. And they wanted to take the Jews to the next level. So in their mind, they were saying, you know, the day's going to come, we're gonna change things. We're going to teach more Torah. Every kid's going to be a tzaddik. Every kid's going to be a Tamid Chacham. Like the time of Yechizkiyahu HaMelech, it says when Chizkiyahu was king, every child knew Dinei Taharot, Tumah V'Tahara. You take a little 5-year-old kid, it's the hardest part of the Torah, the sixth section of the Mishnah, Taharot, the hardest section of the Mishnah. Every child in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech was like the Gadol Hador. They knew every Mishnah, every Halakha. He educated on a mass scale. They wanted to take the Jews to the next level. And they came to a great level. The problem was, they came to such a level and they said, we're self-sufficient. They lost their protection. They lost their protection. That's why they forgot. And they forgot to wash their hands. And they didn't put on the proper vest. They made mistakes. Not getting married, not out of disrespect, not getting married is also because, what type of, who can we marry? Who am I going to marry? You know, who? I can't find anyone on my. You know, what am I going to talk about? You know, their minds on. I heard from a rabbi. You know, before I got married, the rabbi was saying, you know, you're in your yeshiva, and you're studying Maharal, and Rambam. I love Rambam. You're studying the secrets of creation, and you feel you're on such a spiritual high, and you come home and you have a dirty diaper. And a kid crying, and my boo-boo, you know? And it's hard to deal with. You have to realize this is your mitzvah now. That's the real gadol can transfer. He can go from Maharal and the Kabbalah to a little kid's finger and changing a diaper with a smile. You know, that's what you have to do. That's your avodah. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You have to know how to be spiritual and be earthly also, how to be a human being. It's very important to be able to do that. So that's why they didn't have their protection, because they said they didn't get married. And they also didn't have children, because they never got married. And that's the way he explains their sin that they did. And he says, besides the fact also, it says that even among themselves, they did not talk with each other about, well, what do you think we should do? They were so self-sufficient. And he says, this is a very important thing for all of us, that we should always keep in mind that in whatever way you can, you have an important life question. You have a marriage question. You have a chinuch, banim. You have a question how to raise your children. You have to have someone to talk to. You have to have someone that has some type of da'at Torah. You know? And Hashem should bless all of us. We should only see good things. We should always have the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amen.